Beginning this year, thousands of films, novels, and songs entered the public domain. From Charlie Chaplin's silent movie The Pilgrim to Virginia Woolf's Jacob's Room, these works are now available for anyone to reproduce or use for their own creative purposes. 90.5 WESA's Katie Blackley looks at how the public domain affects everyone.
This is The Charleston by composers Cecil Mack and James P. Johnson. It was released in 1923 and has since been protected under U.S. copyright laws. But this year, it entered into the public domain, meaning artists can do things like this. These composers don't have to ask permission from Mack and Johnson's estates to perform the tune now that the song is in the public domain. Someone could write an opera based on it or draw a comic using the lyrics. The accessibility of the publication is what the public domain is all about, according to Jennifer Jenkins with Duke University's Center for the Study of Public Domain.
Creators draw on the public domain in order to create new works. And so it's all about access, it's about creativity.
The public domain is the huge library of published works available to ordinary people, no longer solely to the author and his or her estate. Copyright is a creator's legal protection that says anyone who wants to reproduce their work must ask them first, and usually pay a fee. Jenkins says the first copyright law in the United States was enacted in 1790.
At the time, the copyright term was 14 years, with an option to renew for another 14 years if the author was still living.
Over time, as technology advanced, copyright extended. Now the term is life of the author plus 70 years. And it's 95 years for corporate works, Jenkins says.
Nothing created in our lifetimes is going to go into the public domain unless you live an amazingly long time.
But this year, for the first time in decades, works finally entered the public domain. Daniel Nazer with the digital rights group Electronic Freedom Frontier says it took so long because of a bill passed in 1998.
Some people have snarkily referred to that bill as the Mickey Mouse Protection Act because it always seems that when the earliest works featuring Mickey Mouse are ready to enter the public domain, Disney goes to Congress and gets an extension.
The inspiration for Mickey Mouse, a character named Steamboat Willie, was first animated in 1928. And many say Disney's been finding ways to push back his entrance into the public domain for decades. For many copyright holders, this lengthy ownership period can seem counter to the law's original purpose.
The rights end up with great-grandchildren or agencies, and I think copyright terms being so long creates this really negative dynamic.
Nazer says it's unlikely that copyright terms will change. But when items do become public, it's always exciting to see what's done with the works. These real-life applications are useful to Gail Rogers, the associate chair of University of Pittsburgh's English department. When works enter the public domain, his students engage with classics in a new way. They can take a copy of Agatha Christie's The Murder on the Links and create a digital annotation that explains motifs, allusions, and character development.
That's a much more hands-on way for students to be able to interact with the text as opposed to the old model of passive consumption.
Plus, when items are in the public domain, they're cheap and easy to access. Old, often forgotten stories can be rediscovered and reintroduced into classrooms. And classics can be reimagined. Someone can write a story from the point of view of a novel's silent, underrepresented character, or add modern elements to an old plot.
We think there's cultural, political, social value in the democratizing of access to literature. And that goes all the way from our classrooms to every corner of the world that the internet reaches.
This year, one significant local contribution is from writer Willa Cather, best known for her novels about frontier life. Cather lived and worked in Pittsburgh for 10 years, and during that time, she wrote a collection called April Twilights and Other Poems. It was published in 1923 and is now part of the public domain. I'm Katie Blackley, 90.5 WESA News.